Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria podcast. I greatly appreciate anybody who's been listening and all the support you guys give the podcast. We here over at Sports Euphoria greatly appreciate it. And with that being said, I want you guys to take a listen to the Week 8 review in the NFL and my top three waiver wire ads from quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. If you guys have any questions, you guys know where to find me, sports_euphoria on Twitter and on Instagram, Sports Euphoria on Twitch, and Sports Euphoria on YouTube. Hope you guys won your weeks and enjoy the episode. Bye.
Gonna burn.
good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever it is that you may be listening, however it is you may be listening or watching. I wanted to thank you guys for coming out to another episode of the Sports for Your Podcast. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope you guys won your leagues. I know I didn't have the best week, but this episode we're going to be talking about the usual stuff. We're going to be doing a review from week 8 from Sunday's games, see how that goes. And then we're also going to do a waiver wire ad as well and see how that goes. And I did tweet out my priorities. Who I like to add, as usual, sports_euphoria on Twitter. I'm going to post the other ones on Instagram at sports_euphoria later after the episode, in conjunction with announcing that this episode is out and live and ready for you to consume. All right, so with that being said, I want to show you guys very quickly how, if you're watching on YouTube or on Twitch or Facebook Live, you'll be able to see what's going on here. Also, if you hear me interacting with anybody from chat, they are indeed people chatting either via Facebook or via Instagram. My apologies, Facebook or Twitch, and I posted video afterwards on YouTube. So, I had a game I was supposed to win. I was the odds-on favorite to win, and I won. Barely. Hopefully tomorrow there's no stat corrections, because I'd probably cry. Very, very bad game for myself. Jalen Hurts did very poorly. This is my Dynasty League. Daniel Jones just saved my buttocks. Sutton, Kyle Pitts. These are my pass catchers. Courtland Sutton, 6 points. Kyle Pitts, 3.3 points. Devontae Smith, 2.5 points. Emmanuel Sanders, 0 points. Thank you, DK Metcalf, for doing something against Jacksonville. 22.3 points. Won me my game. Chase Edmonds, thank you. Philly, a touchdown against Green Bay. Helped the league. Other than that, Samaje Perine, Jalen Hurts. It was not a good week for me. I got very, very fortunate. I went up against Aaron Rodgers, Fournette, Nick Chubb, Jamar Chase, Traquan Smith, Robbie Anderson, Noah Fant, Kenneth Gainwell, and Justin Herbert. Yeah. I got lucky. Herbert and Rodgers had some bad games. Fournette didn't put up his usual numbers. Thankfully, Jamar Chase didn't go crazy, 3 for 32. But yeah, I was very, very fortunate this week, thankfully. Hopefully next week I can come back. Other leagues just kind of got demolished. I did win in another one of my leagues. I went 2-4 this week, unfortunately. It seemed like it was a bad week in the NFL, like weird fantasy production standpoints from people that you weren't expecting, I guess. And we'll go over that in a second as well. But, I mean, like I said, it happens. I squeaked it out by 1.32 points. I'll take it whenever you can squeeze one by. This is kind of ones you want to give you a little perspective of the standings. This should be a playoff picture. I am currently in the playoffs. I did make it. I did get very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. But so far, I should say, in the playoffs, not yet. But we'll see. Very, very lucky on a 5-game winning streak. So I want to keep that going as well. And we'll see how it goes from there. But that being said, let's dive into the recap of the games. And we're going to start with the craziest one of them all. We're going to start with the Jets and the Bengals. And if you live under a rock, you may have not heard, but the Bengals beat the Ravens last week, destroyed them, and go into New York, well, East Rutherford, and absolutely got punched in the face. The Jets ended up beating the Bengals 34-31. No Zach Wilson, don't know how it's going to look. Mike White went off, went absolutely bonkers. 405, 3 TDs, just absolutely killed it. Michael Carter had a very good game as well. He touched the ball 15 times on the carries. On the carry side of things, he did have some receptions as well, touched the ball over 20 times. You love to see it. He had 9 catches on 14 targets. So he touched the ball total of 24 times. It's incredible. He put up great numbers. Like I said, you really, really love to see that. out of him. Ty Johnson had a good game as well out of the backfield. You know, that's somebody that in deeper leagues, you might want to take a look at depending on how your league structured. It's like 14, 16, 18 team leagues. Yes, they're out there. Because if Michael Carter's, if they're going to be playing this style of football, Michael Carter, you know, they're going to want to make sure he doesn't get worn out. He is a rookie. It's a long season, extra game this year as well for everybody, let alone just extra games for the rookies that they're not used to from college. So do take a look at Ty Johnson from the backfield perspective. He did have a touchdown. But like I said, super, super deep leagues. Somebody else take a look at James Crowder. He had 8 catches for 84 yards. Elijah Moore had 6 catches for 67 on 6 targets. That's what you like to see from Elijah Moore. Thought maybe they would move Crowder today, the Jets, that is, to, you know, free up Elijah Moore a little bit. But with Mike White and the way the offense runs around Mike White, you want to – these Crowder and Moore are going to probably end up getting more targets because that's just – he's playing it safe. He's not playing hero ball like Mahomes or Zach Wilson. So he's going to take what the defense gives him. He did have 2 interceptions for – at one point, those were the only 2 incompletions that he had all game, which they were completions just to the wrong team. So, but overall, I mean, it was good to see from the Jets, and I want to see how they do on Thursday night as well. We'll see how he does against the Colts with a short turnaround. Definitely expect, a big game for Michael Carter. Typically, the running backs do play well on the short turnaround time. Also, do Tyler Kroft did have a touchdown. I'm going to talk about Tyler Kroft later. Braxton Berrios had a touchdown as well. They, again, the smaller receivers are going to end up having the bigger games, I think, just because it's how the offense is going to run. Joe Mixon, 14 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Very weird to see that. They kept him, contained. He did have 2 touchdowns, but one was rushing, one was receiving. He had a total of 91 yards in total, which, again, for Joe Mixon, keeping him contained, 4 catches for 58 yards. One of them was 46. So much like P. Ryan, I started him, like I said, in my one league, 2 catches for 16 yards. It helped me. If I didn't have those 3.6 points, I lose. So T. Higgins led the team in yardage. He's looking more and more like he's finally falling into his role there behind Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase did lead the team in targets. He had 9 targets, but just 3 catches. Jets defense played well. They played really well. They contained an explosive offense, the best that they could, and the hottest receiver in the NFL right now, Jamar Chase. They shut him down. He got the touchdown for sure, but 3 for 32. Expect to see a little bit more of what the Jets did against Jamar Chase for other teams to do, because if you take him out of the game, you're forcing him to do a lot of other things. So you're going to make him, that offensive line, maybe, crumble a little bit. If you're Cincinnati, they give up 3 sacks. But you like to see it at T. Higgins, 97 yards. Tyler Boyd did have 5 catches on 8 targets because, again, they took away Chase. Even they threw the ball a lot because it was somehow a shootout. Burrow did throw the ball 34 times, so a lot of people are going to have targets. I don't think they're going to necessarily want to do that every week, but they had to put up points. They had to keep up with the Jets. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? Next, we'll go with the Monday night game real quick just because I'm a Giants fan and on ESPN. Website, they're next on my, they're my favorite. So Daniel Jones, I just don't even know. We're just not going to really talk about this. I mean, Daniel Jones did well. He won me one of my leagues, thankfully. From a football perspective, it wasn't a terrible, terrible game for Daniel Jones, but the interceptions were bad. You're hoping you turn the ball over. You take the ball away from Kansas City and then you give it right back to them. That could have been the game if you're able to get points there. But something's wrong with the Chiefs, clearly. I think it's their offensive line. They're not trying. I don't know what's going on with them. Not 100% sure. You hate to see it. There were talks about them doing really well this season and they're 4-4. They might not even make the playoffs. It's crazy to me to see this, one of the teams with the best young talents in the league, throwing the ball, slinging around the yard, and they're struggling. They did run the ball total of 27 times. That's good to see. 3 of them were from Mahomes, but Derek Gore and Darrell Williams did put up some decent numbers. The Giants defense showed up last night on Monday Night Football. Patrick Graham's unit really came to play. They contained Mahomes. They forced him into errant throws. So, you really do like to see that of the Giants defense. If they can keep a lot of these games closer, especially coming up against Las Vegas, you really like to see that. Tyreek Hill, though, you can't contain him. Can't contain everybody. 12 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown on 18 targets. You're going to get open. The Giants don't have that right now. The Giants don't really have that receiver that can get open extremely quickly like Hill can. So when you don't have a good offensive line, you have to get rid of the ball quick. Mahomes has Hill. The Giants have nobody. So shit happens. Devontae Booker, 15 carries for 60 yards. Also had 5 catches for 65. Good game out of Booker from a points perspective, for sure. Especially with the receptions. Sterling Shepard went down with a quad injury. John Ross had a really nice catch. Kadarius Toney looked as if he may or may not have been favoring the ankle a little bit. He may have not been 100%, just kind of more of like a distraction. But then Shepard gets hurt. It really kind of throws a wrinkle into their plans. But, you know, happens. But yeah, it wasn't a great game from fantasy perspectives in general. Mahomes had a touchdown and Derek Gore had a touchdown and Hill had a touchdown. Hill had the best game, probably, I'd say, out of everybody. With the 12 catches, it's 12 points in PPR plus 94 yards and a touchdown. It's a good. You'll take that. You'll take that, especially in an ugly game like this. You'll take those victories for sure. Next, we're going to go to Carolina and Atlanta. I did not expect Atlanta to lose this game by any stretch of the imagination. I thought they were going to do, after seeing what the Giants did to the Panthers, I really thought that the Falcons were really going to be able to just how they looked the week before. It's just kind of one of those things where you look at it and you're just like, oh, the Falcons should win this game, no problem. You know, look at what they've been doing. So it's just, you know, you hope that you can get better games from the Falcons offense. Mike Davis had one of his better games, averaging just under 5 yards a carry, 4.9, 9 carries for 44 yards. Patterson had 9 for 35. So you do like to see Davis a little bit more involved. I wonder if something just happened last week coming off the bye. Kyle Pitts was targeted 6 times, 2 catches. You don't like to see that by any stretch. I just think, you know, they had Stephon Gilmore, the Panthers defense. They could have just, you know, that's how they were just playing. It was a slow game. They had a ton of carries. They didn't throw the ball much. They ran the ball 47 times, technically. So, like, come on. Time of possession was crazy. I expect Atlanta to bounce back from this game. Calvin Ridley did take, he is stepping away from the team for personal reasons. He's not in the right mental state. So he's taking some time away to, you know, get everything in order and things like that. So you definitely wish the best for him and everything that he's going through. So, you know, best of luck, obviously, you know, and come back whenever you're ready. But, you know, in his absence, you kind of want to see some other players step up. You think more Pitts, possibly more Tajay Sharpe, who's been showing that he can strive in this offense compared to when he was with Tennessee. But you like to see Mike Davis getting some carries finally for once, and I expect Atlanta to bounce back. Carolina, Sam Darnold, pedestrian game manager type game, 13 of 24 for 129 yards. They won on defense and running. Chuba Hubbard had 24 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey or CMC is possibly coming back next week, but they may wait till the following week just because I'd rather, you know, with stealing this win away, being 4-4, maybe you want to try to wait a little bit and see what he can do when he comes back and take it from there. But other than that, DJ Moore, 4 for 59. Amir Abdullah had a nice game as well. Once CMC comes back, I don't really see Abdullah having the game being super relevant, but you never know. The only person I'd want going forward, though, is DJ Moore, for sure. You know, you hate to see it, unfortunately, the way Sam Darnold had started the year, but hopefully when CMC comes back, they could do some stuff. And Kyle Pitts, man, after the game he had last week, 2 catches, 13 yards. Killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Next, we're going to go to another game. Buffalo and Miami. 26-11, you know, it was 3-3, I believe, for a little while. Yeah, it was 3-3 going into the second half, and then, you know, Buffalo kind of just did Buffalo things. Miami made it interesting. Tua, you know, it's Buffalo. They're probably one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the AFC. Subpar games, sometimes you have them. You're not feeling it. You're not on. It's just kind of weird. Josh Allen did have 2 touchdowns. He rushed one in as well. I don't know what the running back situation is for them. Singletary had 7 carries. Zach Moss had 8 carries. Super weird. Don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. Cole Beasley had a game and a half. He had 10 catches for 110 yards on 13 targets. He kind of stole the show from everybody else. He stole the show from Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders. Had 4 targets for no catches. That killed me. Gabriel Davis had a touchdown and Diggs had a touchdown. I was expecting more of the shellacking that they received a couple weeks ago when it was 35-0 Buffalo, but maybe it shows that Miami's playing better. I don't know. Hopefully they can stick it out and play well for Brian Flores, because if not, he's going to get the can. Gaskin had a little bit of a better game, but again, it's Buffalo, so you got to take that from where it's coming from. 12 carries for 36 yards. Tua, like I said, 205. He went 21-39. Devontae Parker had a little bit of a coming out game, which you like to see with him coming back from his injury. 8 for 85 off of 11 targets. And then Mike Gesicki, you know, they're going to try to take away their best players, which were Waddle and Gesicki, and Parker was able to step up. So hopefully if Parker can continue to do this and they have more weapons, you'll see them, you know, do a little something better, be more consistent. So we shall see with the Dolphins. Next, San Francisco and the Bears. Justin Fields, you can consider this, I guess, his coming out game. Not crazy, crazy good, you know, passing the ball. He's getting better. You can see him taking strides. He had a crazy, crazy rush, scramble for a touchdown, which, you know, gave him the lead or tied the game, which is an incredible play. How he was able to just change fields so much. It was just incredible. Just his change of direction, his ability to just do it so quickly. You like to see him start to come into his own. And it's also very interesting because Matt Nagy was not coaching this game. So they looked better. Yes, they lost San Francisco, but you just really like to see Justin Fields taking those strides. Herbert had one of his more subpar games compared to, you know, he rushed for under 100 yards off 23 carries. You would have thought based on production previously, 23 carries would have done well. But Fields had 103 yards rushing and 175 yards passing. So he is a viable option, you know, because of his rushing capabilities and how he can get you those yards and those touchdowns. So, you know, through the air, on the ground, however you take it from Justin Fields. Darnell Mooney, you know, led the team with 9 targets. Allen Robinson had a couple catches for 21 yards. Still not, you know, what Allen Robinson does. Jesse James had a touchdown. Cole Kmet had some catches as well. Probably they did use more 2 tight end sets to probably give, you know, Fields some more security and some more safety nets, which is why I think you see the increased numbers in Jesse James. But just keep an eye on that, because Cole Kmet is the guy that they should be utilizing more, but Jesse James is a bigger body. So, and San Francisco side, Elijah Mitchell, another 100-yard game for him and a touchdown. It's his backfield for right now. It's nobody else's. It's his. Jimmy G rushed for 2 touchdowns, threw for 322. So a good game from Jimmy G, which, you know, kind of just shows the coaches, hey, look, I got this. This is my job. It's not going to a young kid just yet. And then Debo had a Debo game, had a really nice catch and play for 83 yards. Just couldn't keep up, ran out of gas, but 6 for 171. I mean, Debo Samuel. I want to see how this changes with Debo when when Kittle comes back, because I do believe that Kittle is going to take a lot of those targets away if he's 100% healthy, and that's just going to help San Francisco as well. So being 3-4 in one of the toughest divisions that they're in, you know, you hope they can just hit stride with Kittle and the defense steps up like it has been, and they can put some good games together. And then Brandon Ayuk, he did have 7 targets, which is encouraging, 4 catches, but you know, maybe he hits his stride late. Maybe they're, I couldn't tell you what they're doing with him. There's a lot of hype coming into this season with Brandon Ayuk, and you just really hate to see the, you know, you draft him thinking he's going to do well, and you could have taken other people, maybe like a Mike Williams, and you'd be sitting in a little bit of a better spot. But you know what happens? There's the ups and downs of fantasy football. So, next we're going to go over, oh, geez. See, there were a lot of bad games. I didn't realize there were that many bad games when I was watching them. I guess because you had the Eagles on one and the Jets and Bengals on another one, you really didn't think about it. But it was 15-10 Steelers. Baker Mayfield game, I guess. Still playing with a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. I couldn't imagine doing that. It's probably not fun. I know a buddy of mine had one, and he said it was a bitch to deal with. About a year or so of like physical therapy and rehab, but these guys are professional athletes. They get the best of the best. So their turnaround time is typically a little bit better. Ben had a conservative game. If Ben can continue to do this, it does give the Steelers an opportunity, especially with how this division's kind of going right now. If the defense for the Steelers can really just really step up, they'll be in more games down the stretch. Chris Boswell, if you had him, he is in the concussion protocol. They're running a fake field goal, and he got leveled and was concussed. He went flying, like actually went flying. Running backs, Najee Harris, 26 for 91 yards and a touchdown. He's their focal back. Anthony McFarland Jr. is his first game off IR. He did come in. He did play more snaps than the other backups. So he is the backup to Najee Harris if something were to happen to him. He just had 1 carry for 1 yard. But again, you know, he's just coming back from IR. He hadn't played all preseason, I don't believe. And this is his first game back, so you could miss some good time. Receiving-wise, Deontay Johnson. Nice game, 6 for 98. Mediocre game for Claypool. Pat Freiermuth, look at him for tight ends. Look at him for tight ends. I'll probably talk about him in the waiver wire part. But they like him. They really do like Pat Freiermuth. He's a big body in the red zone. And you know how Ben really likes, you know, the tight ends in the red zone. So just keep that in mind if you need a tight end, depending on what everything that's going on with the tight ends this year. Look for Pat Freiermuth in deeper leagues if you can hold on to him. Chase Claypool, you'd think would have more opportunities and do more, but you know the Steelers at this point with Ben, he's going to go to the best guy, which is Deontay, and kind of take whatever else he can take. So, Cleveland, you're not really playing Baker. He's not going to be doing much. You're going to go with their running backs or with Jarvis Landry, pretty much. It's just Landry and the running backs. Nothing for Nick Chubb. He had 61 rushing yards. Dearness Johnson had the touchdown on a really nice cutback. But like I said, the receiver that you want is Jarvis. Odell is not okay, I guess you'd say. Something's going on. If you pay attention to social media, Odell's Beckham Sr. came out and said something in regards to Baker not wanting to throw it to Odell and LeBron James for some reason coming into the NFL when he should be in the NBA. Saying free OBJ, he's gonna prove him wrong. Stay in your lane, in my opinion. You run the NBA, let the NFL run the NFL. So it happens. Oh, geez. Like I said, guys, if you hear me interact with anybody, it's usually either via Twitch or via Facebook. And one of the loyal listeners right now is King. So thank you, King. I appreciate it. I didn't think you were going to miss your stream. I figured on Tuesdays you'd be here. Best part of Tuesday. Look at them. Fantastic. Gotta love it. Hope you won your leagues, King. Hope you won your leagues. But let's go and continue to the next game. There were a lot of games. Oh, there were only 2 teams on bye, I think, this week. There were a lot of games. Throwing me off. Eagles, Lions, nobody for the Lions did anything. We're just not even going to talk about it. TJ Hockenson had 10 for 89. He is 100% healthy. So TJ Hockenson, trade for him, get him, whatever the case may be. Almost had him in one league. We were going to trade Travis Kelce. Ended up not traded Allen for Miles Gaskin because he needed running backs. Definitely think the Hockenson deal would have been good for us because I don't know what's going on with what's his face? Kelsey. Eagles, Jalen Hurts, very, very pedestrian game. 14 total attempts, 9 completions, 103 yards. He did rush for 71. Minshew did come in for a couple plays to end the game, but the game here, it's about the running backs. Everybody would have thought Kenneth Gainwell would have been the guy. He was not the guy. He did have 30. They ran the ball 46 times and threw the ball 16. This bothers me because I have Miles Sanders and I have been talking about Miles Sanders being the best running back on this team. And now he's hurt. And now they do this. One of my leagues, or if not two of my leagues, I'd probably be close to undefeated if they did this with Miles Sanders. Boston Scott, 12 for 60 and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Howard, 12 for 57 and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Howard is still playing football. Well, by the way, the Lions' former running back, Adrian Peterson, future Hall of Fame running back, did sign with the Titans. We'll talk about that at some point as well. Devontae Smith had 3 targets, 1 catch for 15. I have him. I am now benching him. I've been hoping I could do something with him. I can't. It bothers me. It really, really does. Goddard, though, you know, with no Zach Ertz, 6 for 72. Another good week for Goddard. They're playing the Lions, so I just don't know if maybe they were just running the ball, trying to say, you know, show people they can run it, and then next week maybe they come out and air it out a little bit more, but we'll see. Like I said, Lions, just Hockenson. That's all I really want anyway, at least. One sec, let me just get a drink. What was the next game? Rams, Houston. If you had this game and you bet the spread, I think they covered. I think it was like, what was it, 16 and a half? And the Rams won by 16. So Stafford had another game, 305 and 3 touchdowns. Henderson, 14 carries for 90 yards. Nothing crazy there. Cooper Kupp doing Cooper Kupp things. They did just release DeSean Jackson, so there is no more DeSean Jackson. So if you had him, hopefully he maybe goes to Green Bay. I wouldn't just get rid of DeSean Jackson yet. He could, once he clears waivers, get picked up by somebody and see what's going on there. So do not get rid of DeSean Jackson yet. I think he could be something for you, possibly. Depends on where he goes, if he gets signed by anybody. Tyler Higbee, if you had him, you could probably end up dropping him. It's just the Cooper Kupp show, and that's it. Robert Woods did have a touchdown, so that you like to see. There were some missed throws. I don't know if Stafford, I don't know. But Woods was targeted 9 times, as well as Kupp. But Kupp came down with 7 catches. So I'm very interested to see, maybe that takes away from Kupp, if Woods makes those catches or if those throws are better. Because he was targeted 9 times. So those still are the 2 best receivers, in my opinion. And then Van Jefferson is going to be the guy that kind of, again, goes down the middle of the field. So he's going to be more of that boomer bust. He did have 3 catches for 88 yards. However, one of those receptions went for 68. So he only had 2 other ones for 20 yards. So again, it's going to be that boomer bust kind of thing coming out of Van Jefferson. Supposedly for Houston, I think they were trying to trade Philip Lindsay. Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be coming back. Davis Mills, you know, shows he could maybe be the quarterback of the future for them, possibly, if he can show some progression and things like that. But I think he needs to sit and learn from Tyrod. But Davis Mills, you know, 2 quarterbacks are super flex, 310 yards, 2 TDs. Rex Burkhead had the touchdown on the ground for them. Brandon Cooks, you know, had a Brandon Cook game, but they were playing from behind. It was like 38, nothing. Going into the fourth quarter, then Houston puts up 22 points. The tight end you probably want from Houston's Jordan Akins. Brandon Cooks is the receiver. They're going to be down by a lot usually. They play the Dolphins, I think, this week, so you could probably start Cooks and be okay with it. Burkhead might be their running back. I don't really know. I'd stay away until they start to show you who their favorite back is going to be. Rex Burkhead can do it all. So, you know, as can David Johnson, as can Phillip Lindsay, clearly his previous earlier years in their career. And if you have Nico Collins, if you have him, or if you're doing a dynasty league, I should say, I do really like Nico Collins in those leagues because he, you know, is a very good receiver and shows a lot of promise. Again, I am familiar with Nico Collins being from Michigan. Not being from Michigan, but Nico Collins going to Michigan University or University of Michigan. Good player, big body, you know, so a lot of good stuff hopefully coming from Houston within the next, you know, hopefully year or two, see what happens. But Nico Collins, even if he gets traded at some point or, you know, signed somewhere else in the dynasty league, I think he'd be a good option to have. Tennessee and Indianapolis. This was a very good game as well. Went into overtime. One sec. It was a crazy game. Derrick Henry did get hurt this game. Season-ending foot surgery. It was a Jones fracture. So from what I've been hearing, and what if it has to do with the pinky toe, the fifth metatarsal, I think it is, and just it affects blood flow, the way the bone breaks or the way the fracture happens. So they have to have the surgery to, you know, help with the blood flow and everything like that, getting to the foot and the pinky toe. So if you had Derrick Henry, you should be in a good situation because he put up crazy numbers, leads the league by a ton of rushing yards, just crazy, crazy things. You could tell he wasn't himself because he had 28 carries for 68 yards. This is something happened. This, I believe, happened in the first quarter. But I personally, A.J. Brown had a good game. He's going to continue to have good games. He had 10 catches for 155 yards. So that's something you like to see. Hopefully he can, you know, be the benefactor of this injury to Derrick Henry. Hopefully Julio Jones as well can come back and do something. We'll see. He's been inconsistent thus far. When it comes to running backs, the Tennessee Titans did pick up Adrian Peterson. However, I don't know why. A couple weeks back, I picked up Devontae Freeman. Latavius Murray gets hurt. Freeman gets a touchdown. This week, I'm like, oh, one of the guys in Dynasty League dropped Jeremy McNichols for somebody. Let me pick up Jeremy McNichols just in case because it's Derrick Henry and it's a Dynasty League. I did pick him up. I picked him up, and now I don't know what the starting running back situation is going to be. Hopefully, it's McNichols. He is the receiving back, so I do see him more maybe like a Chase Edmonds-type player because he can catch the ball. He did go 3 for 3, 3 catches on 3 targets for 33 yards. A lot of threes. Play that number, will you? I'm interested to see though how the Titans respond. A lot more is going to be falling on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders. He might be end up rushing. There might be more design rush plays for him. A lot of people don't know offhand. Ryan Tannehill was recruited to Texas A&M as a wide receiver, so he can move. He obviously is up there in age now, so I'm not as quick, but he is agile, or agile. What else do we really have here? Jeff Swaim. The tight end, I think he's the tight end to have if for any reason something happens to these other tight ends. He's definitely the one to have. But at first was not doing anything. You thought maybe, but it's going to be the A.J. Brown and Julio Jones show, I think, and a lot from McNichols. So keep that in mind with no Derrick Henry. Hate to see it, but they did sign Peterson. I want to know when he'll play. Carson Wentz for the Colts. Decent game. Did have 2 touchdowns. One of them came at a very bad time. He threw it left-handed. He was going to get sacked, take a safety. So, people were like, oh, did he throw it out on purpose? So, like, throw the pick on purpose so they wouldn't get 2 points and the ball back. Look, you just don't do it. Try to throw it away. Throw it to somebody's feet. Like, I get it. You take an intentional grounding. But, like, to give them, because if you give it the safety, it's 2 points. But yet, you could stop them when you give them the ball back. So why would you just guarantee them at least six when it could just be two? Like, you want to minimize the risk, and he did not minimize the risk. He, you know, worst case scenario, they get, depending if they go for two, 10 or 9 points from it. If they miss the extra point, then it's eight. Yeah, I just don't agree with it. Weird game all around. Jonathan Taylor, there was a play at Jonathan Taylor wide open. He doesn't give it to him on a dump off. Could have probably had the first down, if not more. He's a freak. But he did carry for 70 yards and have a touchdown. This was a Michael Pittman game. He had 10 catches on 15 targets for 86 yards. T.Y. Hilton did play. Molly Cox did play. Jack Doyle had a touchdown as well. But I think Michael Pittman's finally coming into his own, and Carson Wentz trusts him now. And I think that that is going to be a good thing for Pittman owners who took him hoping he would, you know, materialize into this. So we'll see how it goes. Give me 1 second. I apologize. Got to let the cat out. All righty. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, you're going to play him every week. Michael Pittman, you could probably start him now every week if Wentz is playing. I like that, especially even with T.Y., because T.Y. is just a burner, but Pittman's showing you he can do everything. Next, we have New England and the Chargers. Sorry about that. Chargers, Patriots. Mac Jones played a good game. You know, kind of game manager-esque. Didn't take too many risks. They, you know, just controlled. They just, you know, played the slow game, slowed the game down, and it was won via the defense. Damien Harris had a good game, 23 for 80, and a touchdown on the ground. You hate to see it if you're if you had one of the pass catchers for the Patriots, but these things happen. Kobe Myers had another 2-point conversion. He had 9 targets. Kendrick Bourne had 7. And Nelson Agholor had 6 targets. They really tried to stretch the ball down the field. But Kendrick Bourne and Agholor are the deep threats. And I really like Bourne. I'm hoping if he can find some familiar out, if he can get on the same page as Mac Jones, I think they'll be perfect. So I do, again, Kendrick Bourne sleeper for me rest of season. Justin Herbert, terrible game. One of his worst games probably since he started as a rookie last season. Most inaccurate game probably, just completed a little over 50% of his passes. One very bad interception towards the end of the game on a bad throw to Jared Cook. Did have 2 touchdowns. One going to Keenan Allen, one going to Joshua Palmer. And Austin Eckler did have 11 carries for 64 yards on the ground, showing you that he may have not been as affected by that injury. More precaution, maybe a little something popped up. But Keenan Allen was targeted 11 times. Eckler was targeted 10. Mike Williams might be coming back down to earth. 5 targets, just 2 catches for 19 yards. Keenan Allen, 6 for 77. Hate to see it. Just traded him in a league. That sucks. I just chalked this up to Bill Belichick being a defensive guru and a bad game for the Chargers coming off a bye week. You thought they would have done something, and they were at home, so they didn't have to travel to the East Coast, but it happens. It is what it is. Next, we're going to go to Jacksonville and Seattle. This wasn't even a game. You're not starting anybody except maybe Dan Arnold at tight end. James Robinson is day-to-day with an injury that he had and that he had sustained. Carlos Hyde probably for a week. Might be the back, or depending on, it could be a week to week. They thought it was going to be season ending for James Robinson, so they say day to day, but it could be prolonged. So we'll see. But Geno Smith, great game from Geno. The running backs, Chris Carson may come back from that neck injury sooner than anticipated. This was a Tyler Lockett game from a yardage perspective. He did have 12 catches on 13 targets for 142 yards. DK just took the touchdowns away from him. Being a DK owner, I'd love to see it. But being a Tyler Lockett owner, you at least got the points per reception in a PPR league. and the yardage. I'm going to talk about him again in the waiver wire ad, but Dan Arnold, I do like him. He had 10 targets. He catches 68 yards. Tight ends are a rookie quarterback's best friend. So this trade, a lot of people were like, when it happened, they thought the Carolina was making out. I really think that Jacksonville did something here with this tight end that's going to be able to help them and their young quarterback develop as it goes on. Hopefully Russell Wilson can come back soon. You know, he did have a really good passing game, only four missed attempts. He went 20 for 24 with two touchdowns. They did really air it out, but again, take that with a grain of salt. It is Jacksonville, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's... we'll see. I mean, hopefully Russell comes back and he does something for the team, but they're 3-5. I don't want him to force an injury and re-injuring the finger and then really messing him up for the rest of the season and maybe, you know, future endeavors down the road. Next, let me just get a drink real quick. Sorry. Washington, Denver. I thought this was going to be a shootout, to be completely honest with you. The way Washington's defense has been, it's been rough. But their defense, I guess their defense stepped up. I mean, it is Teddy Bridgewater and it is the Denver Broncos. But, you know, hopefully the defense did something. They didn't. He only had 19 completions. It was very evenly dispersed. But Washington had a chance to tie the game up. Melvin Gordon, I think, fumbled for the first time in 270 something carries or 257 carries. They were running it was just a freak thing. Washington recovers; they just couldn't do anything with it. So there's this thing with J.D. McKissick where every other game he does well, and this was the other game from last week. He didn't do well rushing the ball, 3 carries, 10 yards, but passing led the team in receptions, 8 targets, 8 catches, 83 yards. Don't start him next week. Start him the week after. Like, every other week, this guy does something. Every other week. Terry McLaurin, don't know what to say about him anymore. It's kind of sad. If he plays somebody good, he doesn't do well. And I guess he was matched up against Patrick Surtain the second because he's been shutting people down left and right. But Javonte Williams had 9 for 35 with 2 catches. Not the greatest game, but Melvin Gordon. Something about this man, he just will not go away. 10 carries, 47 yards, and a touchdown. But he also had 3 catches for 15 yards and a touchdown. 2 touchdowns and a total of like 62 yards. Why, Melvin? Why? Tim Patrick, 3 for 3, 64. I just think that Washington's defense played better here and it didn't give some receivers the opportunity to go down the field. Sutton did have a nice 31-yard catch. And then he had another 9-yard catch and he was done. But Sutton's the downfield guy. If Bridgewater doesn't have the time for the ball to be pushed down and the route to develop, you might see Sutton's numbers, you know, kind of suffer as a result. But, you know, I think, I don't know. I just thought Teddy Two Gloves would have been doing a lot better. But, yeah. Anyway, we're going to go to another upset. Tampa Bay and New Orleans. You hate to see it. You really, really hate to see it. Jameis Winston out for the rest of the season. Tore his ACL. Horse collar tackle, saw it numerous times, the way his leg bent back underneath the rest, not a pretty sight. Brings back flashbacks to not playing football, but with my own knee, whenever I see a knee injury, I always like squirm or whatever the case may be, get a little squeamish just because of like, I guess you'd say a little form of a minor case of like PTSD with my own thing. But they did get Mark Ingram back this week. They traded back for him. He had 6 carries for 27 yards. He'll, you know, get back into shape. He knows the offense, see what's going on, and you'll see, I think, him do more. Kamara did have 19 for 61 on the ground and a touchdown. Traquan Smith had a touchdown early as well. And Alex Armaugh had a touchdown. Just pay attention here, because Taysom Hill's supposed to be coming back. Possibly that's where everything is leaning towards from his concussion a couple weeks back. And he put up some really big numbers, and he's a dual threat quarterback. So in 2 quarterback leagues or super flex, look for Taysom Hill. If not, Simeon will be a viable option. I don't think they're going to played it. He went up against Tampa Bay and he led them to a victory, and he didn't turn the ball over. He was a starting quarterback in the NFL. He gets it. Tom Brady, 2 unlikely interceptions from him, unordinary interceptions. There's a word I can't think of right now, but 2 interceptions, not a good game from Tom Brady. Yardage wise, it was, but other than that, it really wasn't. Fournette was a shell of himself, especially back in Louisiana, going to LSU, being from Louisiana. You would have thought he would have been able to do something, but you know, sometimes emotions overcome you. These things happen. Chris Godwin had a game, though, and I said Chris Godwin would have a game. I said it last week. This was the game because Mike Evans is going to be covered by Marshawn Lattimore, and there's no Antonio Brown, and Chris Godwin had 12 targets for 8 receptions and 140 yards and a touchdown. I said it. You heard it here. But everybody else said it, too. It was a no-brainer. Anyway, Mike Evans did have a touchdown. 41-yard catch, beautiful, beautiful catch and throw. Throw and catch, beautiful. Tom still has it. Gronk ended up leaving the game. He had back spasms coming back from a punctured lung and some broken ribs. So hopefully, you know, he's okay. But other than that, you're just waiting really for Michael Thomas, and you're really just going with Alvin Kamara at this point, and Taysom Hill if he comes back as well. And then we're going to end with the Sunday night game, which was Cowboys-Vikings. This is a very poor game as well. Cooper Rush did have a good game, though. Overall, interception, shook it off, 325 yards, 2 touchdowns, game-winning touchdown, Cooper Rush to Amari Cooper, Cooper to Cooper. And Cedric Wilson had a good game. It was just a good game all around. Cooper, 8 for 122. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 112. Cedric Wilson, you know, 3 for 84. So, and Zeke, quiet game from Zeke, but, you know, the Vikings front didn't let them run the ball that well. Kirk Cousins, you would have thought he would have done better. You tell me Kirk Cousins throws the ball 35 times, I tell you he throws for about 300 yards. He threw for a buck 84. Sad, sad, sad. Kamara, 18 carries for 78. Dalvin Cook, 18 carries for 78 yards. And then Adam Thielen had the touchdown early on, 6 for 78. And then Conklin had a nice game as well. Justin Jefferson did kind of maybe fall on his buttocks hard. But 2 for 21, he kind of got shut down. And Dallas defense, side note, Dallas defense, Trayvon Diggs escaped with not as major of an injury as they thought he was going to have. So glad to hear that. That was the review part of week 8. Hopefully you guys won your weeks. Now I just want to get into the waiver wire section of the podcast. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to get a drink and play some music. 1 moment.
Vizzy, the first hard seltzer with antioxidant vitamin C.
Seeing monsters at your window. No, you can't sleep, you pretend though. You don't have to play the hero. Cause I got you like you got me. When the earth shakes, when the bombs scream, until our last breath, every heartbeat. Thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back. And real quick, just from the Twitch chat, King, yes, Mike Evans did still have a good game. You know, the 60 yards definitely helped with the receptions and the touchdown. But if it wasn't for that long touchdown, Marshawn Lattimore has definitely had his number still majority. The touchdown bailed a lot of us out, for sure. Real quick, waiver wire. Quarterbacks, top four quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor, Taysom Hill, Mike White from the Jets, and Justin Fields. These are all based off of CBS Sports and their roster percentages on CBS Sports. CBS's waivers run Wednesday into Thursday. So what I like to do is I was getting this episode out on Wednesday, and I'm like, well, wait, what about the other ones that want to do Tuesday and Wednesday? So I try to do it now on a Tuesday. And I also try to get it done before my buddy's other podcast, Stack Attack. I watch his as well afterwards, so I always get done so I can, you know, just always go and support the other guys. But quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be coming back this week. He put up 20-plus points the first 2 weeks he was playing this year. So, you know, that's promising. He's a journeyman quarterback. He's a professional. He's going to do the best he can. And he can run. Like, a lot of people forget he can run. You know, he's a serviceable quarterback. He's just got the short end of the stick a couple times. King and Twitch on Twitch also saying he's 8-0 in his league and he needs to know whether he should start Burrow or Herbert. I want to say probably I have Stafford, and I had started Stafford over Herbert this week as well. And I'm probably going to start Stafford again over Herbert. I like to think that Burrow might come back and put on a show, but I'd have to get back to you on that. I do not know offhand who they play. I'd probably go with Herbert. Oh, if they're going to Philly, I might actually go with Burrow. If it's West Coast to East Coast, well, it's a 4 o'clock West Coast to East Coast game, not a 1 o'clock West Coast to East Coast game. You can go with Herbert. But I think it's a toss-up. I think they're both going to end up doing the same. If one does poorly, they both do poorly, if that makes sense. But the Browns have that rivalry game where the Chargers are playing the Eagles, but Darius Slay's been shutting everybody down. So you might see a better Mike Williams game because he might shadow Keenan Allen, or it could be a big dump-off game. But I think after the game Herbert had, I think Herbert's going to have something to prove to everybody, saying that it was just, you know, an illusion. This isn't actually what it is. You're just seeing things. I'm good. You know, because if the Browns run the ball. So, I mean, the Browns can very easily just time of possession. For sure. I don't remember what the other, what the stats were for the last game between them. Not 100. They have not played yet. So this is their first matchup. I would probably stay away from Burrow and go with Herbert. Long story longer. Yeah, I like Herbert more this week for sure. But we have Taysom Hill again, 2-quarterback league. I like him. Comes back. You would see what he did last year when he played 4 or 5 games. He did really well. Mike White, hot hand. Depending on who your quarterbacks are, bye weeks, things like that. I do like Mike White on a Thursday against the Colts. Just some dump off stuff. But even, you know, possibly if he keeps playing hot and they keep winning, I just hold on to him, mate. You never know. he's shown you he can play a little bit against a really good defense, but you know, now there's tape on him. So let's see how he plays against the Colts. But if you can stash him, if you have, you know, something, I would stash him for sure. And then Justin Fields, the potential is that you saw what he has the ability to do, and that's what everybody loves. That's why everybody drafted him in fantasy, hoping he would start week one or week two, and he would, you know, get you 100 rushing yards and 200 passing yards and a touchdown on each, and he throws a pretty deep ball and all stuff. That's what I like, though, as well as, like, you know, your Taylor Heineke's, things like that. Running backs, I typically do top three, but I do have a couple top fours. Running backs, though, we're going Boston Scott, Adrian Peterson, and I want to change this because Marlon Mack did not get traded. So, you know, Boston Scott, Adrian Peterson, and I mean, Marlon Mack could still be cut and clear waivers and go to a team, that needs somebody. So, you know, don't be surprised by that either. If something like that was to happen. But Carlos Hyde's another option, and I did speak about Rex Burkhead earlier with looking like possibly a feature back, but wait on Burkhead in Houston to see who kind of pulls forward that way. And then I think Carlos Hyde would probably be a better option there for you. Wide receivers, real quick, Rashad Bateman, 48% owned, McCall Hardman, 48% owned, Russell Gage, 24% owned, and Jamal Agnew, 2%. Bateman, again, if he's, you should get him. He's been, his targets have been going up, his catches have been going up, his yards per catch have been going up. You know, this is going to be his third week with a bye week. You hope that they work something out and they can figure some things out, and you really hope he can take the next step as a rookie. Two, McCall Hardman. Patrick Mahomes has been trying to go less and less for the home run play, and in doing so, you need the underneath guy to throw the balls to. That's been McCall Hardman. He had a really good game against the Giants last night, and I think he has the potential to continue to grow if Mahomes is going to be taking more of what's being given to him. If they're taking away Kelce and Hill, he's going to have to rely on Holdman, on Hardman a lot. Next is Russell Gage, and I have Russell Gage. I have Russell Gage because of the Calvin Ridley situation and Calvin Ridley stepping away from the game for a little while to, you know, make sure his mental health's in the right state and his mind is everything is good and everything. So hopefully he comes back, but I like Russell Gage for that reason. Hunter Renfrow should be owned in a lot, but unfortunately, Henry Ruggs from the Raiders was just at around 3:39 this morning in Las Vegas, was in an accident, charged with DUI, and unfortunately, the person that was hit in the other vehicle did not make it. Him and his passenger are injured, so you can cut Ruggs. He's probably going to be done in the NFL, depending on how that situation goes. Hunter Renfrow would be the guy there. Alan Lazard coming back from COVID as well is another option. And then Jamal Agnew. People sleeping on Jamal Agnew. You can't sleep on Jamal Agnew, and this is why. Where is it? Week 6 and week 8. 78 catches, or 78 yards on 5 catches, and then he had 6 catches for 38 yards and a touchdown. Even a past 3 games, he's had double-digit points. It's not Laviska Shenault. It's Jamal Agnew. Just saying. Jamal Agnew. Who else did I say? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Jamal Agnew. Sorry about that. Tight ends, I have Dan Arnold, Tyler Conklin, and sleeper Tyler Croft. If Mike White continues to be the quarterback for the Jets, I like Croft a lot because, again, inexperienced quarterback looks for the safety net. The only tight end that they have is Croft. So just kind of look for that. That's what I kind of go for is follow the patterns. And traditionally, whenever there's an inexperienced quarterback playing, you know, and he dump it off quick, and the running back's not open because he's in the block. Tight end peels off, hit the tight end for a couple yards, and you're good to go. And see what happens. I like Croft for that reason. Conklin again had a nice game. Cousins does like tight ends. Again, depending on the situation your team's in, I'm not a fan of KJ Osborne. I do like Tyler Conklin. He plays Baltimore. They do really bad against tight ends. He had another 10-point game. He had another 10-point game. So back-to-back 10-point games. And then, like I said, he had the 20-point game. So he's putting up some numbers, depending on, again, your tight end situation. So do not sleep on Conklin. And I said, Dan Arnold, a really good game again. Take a look at Dan Arnold, man. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, that's another reason LeChenault might not be doing too well, is because they have Agnew, they have Jones, and they have Arnold. Again, the middle of the field guy, third and five, he might be running a six-yard route, turning around, finding a soft spot in the zone, boom, hit me. You know, boom, hit me. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about the tight ends there. With that situation, nobody else really kind of stands out too much for me for the tight end situation. Like I said, Jordan Akins, Jonnu Smith, but nothing, like I said, crazy, unfortunately. Real quick, I don't know what I did. Yeah, I did that. Okay. I mean, kickers, I like Crosby because they just put up points, especially against Kansas City. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to torch them, so Crosby will probably be busy. McManus for Denver. Graham Gano, I think the Giants probably put up some nice points or get into field goal range for Gano. And then, let's see, it's the Giants, so I would start Carlson as well if you can for kickers. And then DSTs. Steelers play Chicago. You pick up the Steelers. Dolphins play Houston. Dolphins do have a good defense, so don't sleep on them for that. And it is Houston, so it might be, but it could be a shootout for ugly reasons. And then a Cowboys against Denver. You just like to see maybe the Cowboys do something good against Denver. Packers defense has been stepping up, and you've seen how bad the Chiefs have been. So there's a sleeper pick as well. But see what happens. We will see what happens. Those are my top waiver ads. I may try to do another episode Thursday before the game, or maybe during the game. We'll see how it goes, just to try to break down a little bit more, maybe go over some other picks, maybe after waivers hit, see who gets dropped, look at the roster percentages, things like that. But real quick, King on Twitch, I'm also in a stick situation in my main league. My starters are Dak, Najee, Saquon, Kupp, Chase, Pitts, Goddard, Rams, and Koo. Great lineup, but my bench is not. Mike Evans, McKissick, bye. D. Jones, Sarah Williams. Yeah, no, you should be. I mean, Saquon hopefully comes back, not this week, the week after. But I believe their bye week is week 10, so he'll be coming back week 11. I think they're going to give him the break this week against the Raiders. Just give him one more. It'll be two more weeks, come back, have him be healthy, and then kind of maybe get everybody clicking that way. But yeah, I mean, look, your team, you know, you just got to get by, I think, the Rams bye week. I think the Bengals bye week. And you should be okay. You'll be all right, though. Your team's solid. You'll be good. I like you picked up Peterson. But guys, with that being said, I appreciate anybody who came by, anybody who stopped by via Facebook, via Instagram, may have posted it, Twitter, Twitch. I'll put the video up on YouTube, and the podcast will be out tonight on Apple, Google, Spotify, everything. You guys know where it is. And again, I appreciate you guys listening. If you are listening and you watch and you listen, I appreciate it. Every little bit helps. I enjoy doing this. You know, I really am at a disadvantage. Not a disadvantage, but I try to give you guys the best I can by myself. I'm hoping next week I can get one of my co-hosts back, my cousin. He should be getting his computer worked on and getting it back on Saturday. So hopefully next week I'll have him on with me. And you don't want to have to hear my boring ass voice for
over an hour. But I appreciate it. You know, the listens, the plays have been going up each week. Every episode's now been getting about 8 to 10 plays. So it does. It goes a long way. I appreciate it. Means a lot because I'm just a guy doing a thing that he loves. So I really do hope that you guys find some value out of what it is that I'm doing. And I hope it does help your leagues. King will just probably say it does, even though I'm giving him terrible advice because he's just that cool. But no, I really do hope you guys, you know, enjoy what I'm doing. I'm trying to do a little bit more. But yeah, guys, with that being said, I will see you guys, if not tomorrow or Thursday, probably Friday or Saturday for the preview week for week 9. Have a great one. Be safe. Enjoy. Later.
Side by side.